Thank you, children. I trust you have a copy of God's Word this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. I'd like to spend a few moments discussing the issue of God's will for our lives. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible reads, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray now that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit and that You would lead us and guide us into truth. Lord God, grant us an understanding of Your will for our lives. And grant us the grace and the humility of mind and the willingness to obey and to be within Your will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul prayed for this group of believers there at Colossae that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. The word there, filled, in verse number 9, conveys the idea of completeness. Completeness. And the word knowledge has the idea of certainty. The Apostle Paul prayed that these believers might be complete and have absolute certainty concerning the will of God. Many of us have heard the expression, or expressions like this: there must be more to life. There must be more to what I'm doing right now. Or similar heart cries. And it's a very common statement made by people all the time. And the reason is simply this. There are two main reasons: that we are made first and foremost in the image of God to be in fellowship with God. And within every man, woman and child there is a spiritual dimension. And for a person to fully appreciate and comprehend and enjoy life to the full, they must be connected with the Creator. There must be a relationship with the God of gods and the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. Because we are made to be in fellowship with Him. So if there is to be satisfaction and fulfillment in life, there needs to be a relationship with the One that has created us in His image and to be in fellowship with Him. And my heart cry for you this morning is, if that is the heart cry of your heart, maybe you need to take a moment and assess your relationship with the Creator of the universe. And make sure that you do have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Therein lies the fulfillment and the purpose in life. But But may I also say that for many people, they struggle with this issue of what is the meaning of all this? Why is it that I'm going through the motions of life? The predominant reason is that man needs to be connected with the Saviour, the God of gods, the one that has created you and I to be in fellowship with Him. But secondly, you and I need to be in the centre of God's will. It's when you and I are in the centre of God's will, we find the greatest measure of satisfaction and productivity and happiness for the glory of God. And many of God's people will find themselves in certain vocations or in certain situations, and though they know Jesus Christ as their Saviour, yet their heart cry is, there must be more. I'm not happy doing this. And may I say to you this morning, if that is your heart cry, God has something more for you. And it's important that we understand His will and be filled with the knowledge of His will, to know His will completely and to know His will with certainty. And this was the heart cry of the great Apostle Paul as he prayed for this group of believers. He prayed for them that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will, God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His will is all wise. His will is spiritual. God considers the spiritual dimension. Man is created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. So God has your spiritual interest at mind, and in knowing and remaining within the center of God's will, He will provide your spiritual needs, beyond your physical needs. Now I'd like to spend a few moments this morning and just highlight some principles concerning God's will for your life. God's will for your life. And if your heart cry this morning is or has been, there must be more to life than what I'm experiencing. May I encourage you to just settle the issue of your standing before a holy God? May I encourage you to make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour? And once that issue is settled once and for all, may I encourage you to just bear with me this morning as we note some principles concerning God's will. Whether it be here in Sydney, Australia, or whether it be on the other side of the world, you will be no happier and no more fulfilled than being in the centre of God's will. No matter the circumstances, you are to be within the will of God. That's where God wants you to be. I trust that's where you want to be. Let's note first and foremost here from verse number 9 that as the Apostle Paul prayed for these believers, note then verse 9 once again, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. I'd like for you to circle that word you, if you don't mind marking your Bible. And I want to stress this lesson, this principle first and foremost this morning concerning God's will. And that is simply this, that God has a personal will for you. And as the Apostle Paul prayed for these believers there within this church family, he said, I'm praying for you personally, that you personally might be filled with the knowledge of His will. will is personal. It's a personal privilege to know that God is interested in me. God is interested in you. And God has a personal will for all of us. God has a specific will for each of our lives. And we are accountable to know and to be and remain within His will. Because God has a personal will for you. Just like no two people are the same, God deals with us as individuals. And God has His will for each of us. So there's no need to compare. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please, verse 12 for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Reads, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So God has a very personal will for you. It's a privilege to know that God has a personal will for me. And there in Luke chapter 12, verse number 48, as the Lord Jesus gave one of His many parables, He said, "Much is given, much is required." And because God has a personal will for each of our lives, you and I need to bear that responsibility that we need to know it, fulfill it, and remain within the center of God's will. So God's will is personal, and you don't want to miss His will for your life. God has a personal interest in you. For example, it was God's will for Abraham to surrender his son, Isaac. That was unique to Abraham. Now, the Muslims believe that Abraham sacrificed Ishmael. But the Bible teaches that Abraham sacrificed Isaac. That was unique to Abraham. That was specific for Abraham. Because God deals with us as individuals. The God who knows everything, the God who is all present, the God is all powerful, yes, He's interested in you. And God has a personal will for your life. God doesn't look out upon His creation and just sees a mass of people. But God sees you individually. Knows everything about you. Has every hair on your head numbered. That's what the Bible teaches. Try numbering the strands of your hair. I tried once as a kid and I gave up. Difficult job. But God knows every hair in your head. God knows everything about you. And God has a personal will for you. And the Apostle Paul said there in Colossians 1:9, "We're praying for you." So God's will is personal. Secondly, I'd like for us to note this morning that God's will is purposeful. God's will is purposeful. Note there in Colossians chapter 1, please, once again. Look at verse number 10. The first part of this verse reads, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord." That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God's will is not only personal, God has a personal will for you that is different to God's will for me and God's will for anybody else in this room or in this world. God has a personal interest. God has a personal will for you. But secondly this morning, as the Apostle Paul prayed for these believers that they might know and be filled with the knowledge of His will, He gives us the reason why. And that is that God is purposeful. Now, God does not randomly give out His will, so to speak, to people. It's not like, it's not as if God's in heaven there in His throne and He's thinking to Himself, okay, I need a missionary there in the Congo, okay, Joshua, you go there, and we need a missionary over there in Japan, Zachary, you go there, and you know, it's not so sort of random, oh look, as long as somebody goes, okay, Joshua, you just go there, and you go there, and that's not how God operates. God has you in mind. And God doesn't randomly say, well, okay, we need a missionary so-and-so, so therefore, you know, we'll just take anybody. Okay, this is what we'll do. I'll work in this person's life and I'll make them go there. No, that's not how God works. God is purposeful. And the Apostle Paul, as he prayed for this group of believers, that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10 goes on to read, to what end? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. It is purposeful. It's important that we know God's will for our lives, because therein lies our purpose. To walk worthy of the Lord. To walk in a way that is well-pleasing to God. And you will please God when you remain in the center of His will. When the Lord Jesus was baptized there in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why was God the Father pleased with God the Son? Because God the Son was in the center of the will of God the Father. See? God is purposeful. And as we try to grasp this whole idea of God's will for our lives, it's important that we understand that God does not randomly give out His will or a job for all of us. No, God has you in mind and God has you set apart for a purpose. It's a purposeful pursuit. Now, ultimately, it's to bring glory to God. We're to bring glory to God, are we not? We are created for His glory. In Psalm 19 verse 1, the Bible teaches us, the heavens declare the glory of God. So when you and I understand and fulfill and remain within the center of God's will, then God is purposeful. God will bring glory to His name. Now, when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, God had a purpose in mind, did He not? Yes, on the surface He was testing the faith of Abraham. Abraham's willingness to sacrifice. But this event that took place in time past was a foreshadow of the fact that one day God the Father would willingly surrender God the Son as a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, when Jesus Christ came into the world, he came with a purpose. He said, I have come to fulfill the will of my Father that has sent me. That is my meat. That is my sustenance, to fulfill the will of God the Father, which was to go to an old rugged cross and to be suspended on that cross and to pay for the sins of all humanity. That was the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. God had a will in the giving of his Son. And God has a will for your life, and that will has a purpose attached to it. Just like every part of our human body. Every part of the human body has a purpose. There is some purpose. God makes no mistakes. Though medical science struggles and battles over some parts of the body, wondering what's that for, what's that for? Listen, I can assure you, God has a purpose. Yes. God has a purpose in every part within your human body. God is purposeful. And it's just a timely reminder to you and I that God has an agenda for your life. And God has a personal will for your life. And as you understand that will, and as you fulfill that will, and as you remain within his will, God is purposeful, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How can we possibly please the Lord unless we know his will? And thirdly this morning, as we read on in verse number 10, it goes on to say, being fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work. Fruitfulness. Productivity. So number one this morning, God's will is personal. Have you got that one? It's personal. You are an individual. God loves you. God has something very special for you. Oh, Pastor, not me. Yes, for you. For you. God's will is personal. God's will is purposeful. Purposeful. God has a goal in mind. God has an agenda for you personally as you fulfill his will for your life. God is purposeful that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But not only is the will of God full of purpose, and the will of God is personal. But beloved, the will of God, when you and I are in the will of God and fulfill God's will and remain within God's will, then we will be productive. We'll be fruitful. And here in verse number 10, the Apostle Paul makes reference to a number of areas of productivity. Note then verse 10, being fruitful in every good work. In every good work. In other words, in all that we do, we will be fruitful in every good work. Now the Bible teaches us that we are saved by faith alone. And there in Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, Abraham believed on the Lord and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So it is by faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, a person can have the forgiveness of sin and enjoy the hope of eternal life. But we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are to reflect that faith by our works. We are to prove that we are people of God by our outworkings. And I'm thankful for these believers right now there in the Philippines that are trying to help those in need. Because they're reflecting their faith in Christ by their love for others. And we, as we get involved and as we help one another, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples by your love one for another. Love is not corny, love is maturity. And when a person knows God, when a person has a relationship with Jesus Christ, then there ought to be some outworkings of that. And when you and I are in the will of God, we will not only live life with purpose, God's purpose for you and I, but also we'll be productive in good works. So by faith we are spiritual children of God, but we reflect that faith by our works. And the Bible teaches us when you and I have a grasp, we grasp God's will. We are filled with the knowledge of His will. Then we can be productive. Be fruitful. Be fruitful in good works. John chapter 15 talks about abiding in the vine. We as branches to abide in Christ. And then we'll bear fruit. The fruitfulness of good works. But also note there at the end of verse number 10, the fruitfulness of a close and intimate relationship with our God. Note there at the end of verse 10 of Colossians 1, it reads, and increasing in the knowledge of God. A person that knows the will of God, finds themselves in the center of God's will, remains within the will of God, this person will be fruitful, will be productive in good works, the outward demonstration of their faith. But secondly, their relationship with their God will grow. See, you will struggle in your personal relationship with God if you are outside of His will. But if you are in the center of His will, then your relationship with your God will blossom. Go to James chapter 2, please, verse number 23. Book of Hebrews, then the book of James. James chapter 2, verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, that's faith. And he went on and he was called the friend of God. Wow, what an honor to be called the friend of God. Now why was Abraham called the friend of God? Because he knew God very personally and very intimately. And beloved, this morning, if we are to be productive, if we are to have a close and intimate relationship with our God, then we need to make sure that we are in the center of His will. Then you will be productive, productive in good works, the outflow of your faith. There'll be evidence in your life that you belong to Christ. There'll be good work, or good works, I should say. But also you'll be productive in your relationship with God. There'll be an intimate and very close and very personal relationship with your God. And you likewise can say, like as Abraham did of old, that God is my friend. But also, if you go back to Colossians chapter 1, further productivity. See, it pays to be in the will of God. I guess that's my point this morning. It's really your best to be in the will of God. Really, it is. It's personal. God's interested in you. That whether you feel you have much value or not, God thinks you're very valuable. In fact, He died on the cross for your sins. That's how much He loves you. God became flesh and died for you. That's how much He values you. So God is personally interested in all of us. God's will is purposeful. And as we find ourselves in the center of God's will, we'll be productive. Productive in good works. Productive in our relationship with the Lord. But also note then, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 11, it reads, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. And verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Productive. Productive in good works, productive in our relationship with the Lord, and thirdly, productive in the evidence of God's power upon our lives. The evidence of God's power upon our lives. Now, when you and I understand the will of God, and we are in the center of God's will, and we remain in the center of God's will, we will evidence the power of God. The evidence of God's supernatural empowering for your life and for my life. Now, it is available. May I submit to you, the power of God is available for the child of God in the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it reads, for though He was crucified through weakness, yet He lives or liveth by the power of God. For we are also weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. So God's power is available. God's power is accessible. Where? In the center of God's will. There is access to the fullness of God's power. The power to live out the Christian life. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on and mentions a number of areas that we need a whole lot of power to perform. Note then verse 11, unto all patience. Patience. Let's say it together. Patience. We all need a little bit more patience. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the Bible reads, for you have need of patience. And I think God knows the human heart. Yes, we need a little bit more patience. That's the power of God. Patience. Just when you think you are, you've arrived, all of a sudden you're caught upon to exercise a little bit more patience. And when a person is in the center of God's will, God will unlock His power that you and I might exercise His patience. Patience. Oh, blessed be God. Patience. Patience. Not only patience, but also note there at the end of verse 11, long-suffering. Suffering long, now this deals with the issue of under pain, suffering, pain, agony, it hurts, long, for a period of time, doesn't stop there. What else does it say then, verse 11? With what? With what? I'm enduring pain and I'm smiling at the same time. That requires the power of God. That requires the supernatural working of God. Where do I find that? Where do I find this power to suffer long in this world that's full of so much hatred and pain and suffering and inconsistency and tragedy, and the list goes on and on. Oh Lord, pain, 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 deliver me, deliver me. Oh, there will be a day of deliverance for those that are in Christ Jesus. But not yet. But not yet. But until that day, as we remain within the center of God's will, God will give us the power. God will unlock His power to, with joyfulness, exercise long-suffering. Wow. That's great. That's what we need. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 12. I'm almost done. Okay? Now, if you've been dozing off, now's the time to wake up. So I'm almost done. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Oh, how much we need gratitude in our day. Thankfulness. God provides power in order that we might be patient, that we might exercise long suffering with a smile, joyfulness. And thirdly, that we might be thankful. Be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as we read this morning, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything. Did you hear that? Oh, I know it hurts. In everything. How do you do that? Only in the power of God. Only with the power of God. How do we access the power of God? By being in the center of His will. Because we have a rich inheritance, as verse number 12 goes on to read, meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We have a rich inheritance in Jesus Christ. And my friend, this morning, I trust that you see why it's just so important that you know God's will for your life. And that's why the Apostle Paul prayed for these believers, that they might know the will of God. Why? Because it's personal. Let's say it together. Personal. Personal. Secondly, God's will is purposeful. Let's say it together. Purposeful. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And thirdly, as you remain within the will of God, you will be productive. You will unlock God's power. God's power will be evident in your life. To what end? Patience. Let's say the next word. A little bit loud. I know it's painful. Together, after two. After two. Let's be coherent here. After two. One and two. Oh, with joyfulness. Okay, now, we'll also be productive in this area of thankfulness. So it's important that you're in the will of God. So don't be disheartened this morning. God has an interest in you. And I'd like to encourage you to simply bow the knee and yield to His will, because God is personally interested in you. And in His will, you will be productive and you will fulfill your purpose. By faith, I believe that that is where the greatest measure of satisfaction and fulfillment and happiness will be. When you and I are in the center of His will. And all of God's people said, let's be upstanding, please. Heads bowed up.